Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
An Erio's original.
And I was really scared because I didn't know much about this city. I didn't know how it worked. And I basically parlayed my misery into 9 guest stars in a year.
It's taking over my dreams, waking me out of my sleep. I think I'm coming apart.
Hi, I'm Margaret Cho. Welcome to The Margaret Cho, where we talk to people you know and people you should know. And I really would encourage you to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because we only have a few reviews and we really need more. And it would be great to hear from you. And if you do review us, I will read you on air, like this one from NeuroNurse45, Positive Podcast. I have a pretty physically and emotionally demanding job. Your podcast is great to listen to on the way in. I love my crime and drama, but The Margaret Cho leaves me with a lighter heart. And also, hell yeah for queer inclusiveness. Thank you. Thank you. And please, please leave us a review on Apple Reviews, 5 stars. If you want to help us out, it really does help us out a lot. And rate and review and leave us a review and I'll read it. Thank you. My guest today is somebody you really should know, amazing, incredible actress, Amy Landecker.
Yeah, I'm coming out of the dark.
Now, you're on your schedule of promoting the Transparent finale.
Yes, I am. I'm on a massive press tour promoting
yes.
the Musical.ly finale of Transparent.
Which I love.
Thank you.
I love.
I'm excited. People seem a bit confused by what's happening. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of questions. They're like, well, wait, is there a season 5? Or wait, what do you mean a musical movie? Is it in movie theaters? So it is, just to be very clear, there's not separate episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It will be a 1 hour, I think about 40 minute mm-hmm. film, quote unquote, on Amazon. So it's not a film you go see in the movies. It's like those other movies that you watch on Amazon.
I always think about the Soloways, and I think about them actually being like Rodgers and Hammerstein. They're like musical family, because I was around for all of the early shows that they would do in L.A., whether it was sort of Brady Bunch.
Right, the real life Brady Bunch.
Yes.
Did you ever go to those shows? Or in Chicago.
Yes.
I was sort of a part of the original, and they also did like Cannibal Cheerleaders on Crack.
Yeah.
I was in the Chicago theater scene at the same time and never knew I would eventually sort of cross paths with them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very fun. But yeah, I knew all that stuff. And yes, it's at the root. This is like very full circle. It's basically like them with a budget, you know. This
yeah.
is what they've been doing their whole lives.
Yeah.
And now they're just doing it on a bigger scale.
And it comes down to like the essence of what they were both doing, the sisters, this is Jill and Faith, were doing like these huge, like kind of spoofy reviews that were really fun and really gay
mm-hmm.
and really crazy and really irreverent and like, but it was like they were spoofing on things that were very established, like the Brady Bunch, or like I was in a production of Foxes, which was the, you know, big Jodie Foster, Cherie Carey movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they did a sort of a drag version, but not solely drag, because not every gender was reversed. It was always sort of like just an interesting thing. There's also St. Elmo's Fire that they did.
Seriously? I didn't know that. I would love to see St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire was a good
one.
That
needs to get done again.
It was a good one because it was with Anna Gasteyer as Andy McDowell, which was a very, it was really a very interesting portrayal, because you think of like Andy McDowell as being, I don't remember her that much from St. Elmo's Fire. Demi Moore is all
right
you remember. But
yes, true. It really although I also remember Ally Sheedy.
Oh, Ally Sheedy's great. Ally Sheedy was wearing the long preppy pearl necklace,
yes!
And she is the preppy girl.
And she slept with, that's what it was. She slept with Andrew McCarthy, right. And Judd Hirsch discovers that and like loses yes. his mind.
Yes.
That's what it was.
And Judd Hirsch was
she
kind of.
She slept with like best friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Judd Hirsch was kind of like from a Gordon Gekko. It was kind of like a Wall Street character. Like when
yuppies
were very sexy.
Yuppies. Yeah.
And evil.
And they're evil. In narratives, they're always evil.
Yeah. Do you ever want to be a yuppie? I did, kind of.
I think back in the day, I mean, I used to be like in love with, I certainly was like attracted to yuppies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rob Lowe in that era.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
And that sort of, yeah, swaggering. Oh God, Judd. Wait, no, who's the mean guy in Pretty in Pink?
Oh, James Spader.
James Spader.
Yeah.
You know, they sort of had like this clenched jaw and they were the rich boys.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. They have a short shelf life.
Yes.
Those kinds of
yes,
guys.
They sure do.
Because they're really hot like in their like early 20s and then they run to fat quickly.
True.
Because you know,
they drink too much beer. They're like frat boys. They become like
their fathers.
Yes.
Not
yes.
to body shame. I mean I do love fat. It's the lifestyle that ages them because they're modeling gender from their fathers.
Yes.
So they're
that
drinking.
Particularly brand of masculinity doesn't move well into adulthood.
No.
Yes.
Because they almost fast forward into really like late adulthood, like
yes.
late 40s. They go from
hey,
like 19 to
hey,
the late 40s.
Late 40s.
Hey, I'm my 50s, so I'm.
Oh, we're allowed to say it. I'm going to be 50 this month.
It's good. It's good.
I actually feel amazing.
It's definitely like something that I wasn't prepared to be 50, but now I'm like, oh, it's great. I feel really good.
I feel like oddly unaware of any big thing yet, but I might hit me later. Like I know mm-hmm. it's a big number and everything, but mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I feel fine. But that could change. Talk to me when it actually happens, but I feel good.
I guess I don't feel older unless I hang out with younger people, which I
right,
do.
Right. That's the only
really
time
shocked.
You're even aware. That's
yes.
right. That's so true. I think rock and roll just kind of changed everything. And mm-hmm. I just don't think any of the rules apply, but yes, I am aware of it. You know, and I still consider myself like extremely viable, and I consider my husband, who's about to turn 60, extremely viable. And then you talk to like a 20-year-old about sleeping with either of us, and mm-hmm. they find that really disgusting.
Oh no, no,
no, they do.
No,
no, they do. Like they're like, ew, he was an old man. I'm like, who? That guy? I think he's hot. Like that's when I realize how old I am. Does mm-hmm. that make any sense?
Yeah, I guess
not that I couldn't find a 20-year-old to do me, but I'm just saying in
yeah.
general.
Yeah, when I am around younger people, I think it's also like being around a lot of aliens because it's like we don't really breathe the same air. Like we don't have the same kind of physical like components, but it's like I'm understanding like a new being.
Yes, yes. And they're sort of, even the way you just held yourself, which people can't see, but it was a very sort of like, I'm observing.
Yeah, I'm observing. Your customs. But it's, like I went to this nightclub this weekend with a bunch of younger people. And of course, the nightclub did not open till midnight, first of all.
Right, that's my problem.
That's
a
problem.
I want to go dancing mm-hmm. and nothing starts till 10 p.m.
That's not cool.
And I go to bed about them.
Yes.
And I want to dance.
Yeah, but we have to do it early. I have to do it early.
I do too.
I can't do it. But I of course, get there at midnight when the place opens and nobody's there. And I'm texting my friends and they're
and
like,
what?
Oh,
they roll in at about 1 a.m.?
1:30. They're
Jesus
like, we'll be there at
1:30.
We'll be there early. We'll be there at 1:30. That's early.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. But I was there. I had a good time with them, but I was there until 4 in the morning and it was really too late.
And then I would have to like spend a week. That's when I'd feel my age. I guess a little bit. It would take me about a week to recover from
yeah.
the 1-4 a.m. deal.
It's too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go to bed and then wake up at 4 a.m. and then go.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better.
That's a good idea. That would live in my world way more comfortably.
Yeah.
I could pull that off.
That could definitely
yeah,
happen.
That's a good idea. Let's go to bed at 9. About mm-hmm. 4 a.m. we get up, get dressed, and go dancing.
That's a better plan. And then, you know, then I'll have my cardio done. So it's perfect.
I'll do it with you.
Yeah,
you
we'll do it. But 50 is
so
youthful.
Sad. It's true.
Other than having to like get up early or stay up late or whatever. Other than that, 50 for me doesn't feel so different.
I agree. My husband's turning 60 and he's complaining more. And I do know like I understand that systems will slow down. Like, I get the physical reality of mm-hmm. the human body. Mm-hmm. But I have yet to feel that difference. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And I think it has to do with, like, our lifestyle. I mean, I think because when we're in front of the camera, we just have to really take care of ourselves. But we do. We actually do. Our physical condition is important.
Well, it's true. I spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a year on lasers. You know, I think, like, sometimes I'll see a picture of myself and be like, you know, I look pretty good. I'm like, well, yeah, I spent $10,000 on a light being pulsated into mm-hmm. my skin and burning
yeah.
so as to create collagen to regenerate.
Right.
And I have right now, I'm getting ready for a bunch of our premiere of Transparence tomorrow night. I'm going to the Emmys on Sunday for Creative Arts with Bradley. Mm-hmm. So I have a fake tan going. I have fake nails. I have fake eyelashes. And it's like this whole thing where, you know, your friends from high school are like, you look unbelievable. I'm like, well, yeah, I've spent all this money, all this time, and then I'm going to go into 2 hours of hair and makeup on top of all the base reality mm-hmm. that's going on. So, I mean, you better look. Yeah, we have to take care of ourselves.
We have to take care of ourselves.
So
I
true.
Mean, I like the lasers too, but my problem with the because I do spend a lot of money and time on that kind of stuff, but the problem is I will go right back out in the sun.
Right, and then it literally comes right back.
Yeah.
It's like you slough it off and then it just like comes. But there's another one called UL therapy. Have you heard of this?
Oh, that was going to get that for my neck.
Torture.
Was this it really bad?
Oh, whoa. Basically, it is burning you on a subdermal level so that you don't even see any bruising. There's no downtime because mm-hmm. it's so deep inside
yeah.
that all the bruising and all the wounds are so far underneath that they never come to the surface.
Wow.
And it's a tightening thing. Yeah, it's for your neck. Mm-hmm. And and I do it every year. And it supposedly keeps you from having to get like any kind of facelift or something. But every year I go, am I really going to do this again? And I have no idea if it works. I heard Tina Fey made some joke about these lasers sometimes. She said, I feel like it's like giving someone thousands of dollars and they hold like a flashlight to your face. Like, leave.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway, that's my little, some people ask, what are the tips that you have? UL therapy is my tip of the day.
I gotta try it. I don't really care about wrinkles on my face. It's more just about my neck.
I agree. And who was it who wrote, she's a wonderful writer. I think she passed
away. Nora Ephron.
Right. She wrote, you know, I Hate My Neck, right? And I was younger when that came out. And I was like, I don't like that title. Like, that's so ageist. And now it's like, that's all I can think about. It's
that's the
only thing I don't like is my goddamn neck.
Yeah. What I do, sometimes my makeup artist, John Stapleton, he will take like this special tape with like a string.
I haven't started the tape yet, but I've heard of the tape.
Oh, I love it. But then it makes you really claustrophobic because he will like tighten. Like,
so it feels like someone's strangling you?
Yeah. He'll snatch my skin in the back of my neck and like actually pinch it so that all the wrinkles go away. And I feel amazing. But then it's like,
but it feels like someone
that's
is
not yet been sprung. Like, it's so
you're just about ready to bounce right back.
Yeah.
I did a movie called Beatrice at Dinner where they did a top knot. Okay. Mm-hmm. And it was so tight that I didn't realize that is another form of a facelift.
Yeah.
Like a really tight top bun.
Yeah.
Will pull up your face.
It is kind of suffocating, all of the things that
I don't like
you
that.
Have to do
in
sometimes.
In fact, I'm wearing a bra right now and all I can think about is I just want to take my bra off. But
oh,
I'm not going to do it.
Well, you can. I don't even bother with a bra anymore because my I just can't. And then the wire bothers me.
Oh,
I did. That's why I never watched that show because I thought it was going to be about my underwire. The Wire. Now, the Emmys is fun, though. I mean, it's like, that's a good one because it's a little bit like, it's the worlds that you want to look into. All of the people are the most exciting. Mm. I love it.
I always enjoy it more when I go as a guest. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm with Bradley, I have the best time of my life.
Yes.
When we went and we were nominated, for some reason, like, I get into high school mode where I feel unpopular and uncool or something. Like, does that make any sense?
No, but that's like the best time to go when you're nominated because it's like now you're really, I mean, it's like then you've got skin in the game.
But you don't because it just brings up less than. If I'm there with someone else, I'm just in support mode and I'm just like, this is the best time and I'm just people watching.
Yeah.
But if I have any skin in the game, I go into like, I suck mode.
No, it's
Isn't
just
that lame?
That's sad because it's just like, that's what everybody wants to be nominated.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
like. Well, I was never individually nominated either. I don't even know what would happen to me then. It was just when Transparent would be nominated. I don't even know the psychic stress. Have you been nominated? You must have. You must have won a bunch.
I'm not one. I've been nominated for an Emmy one time. And well, I lost to Kathy Bates, but which is honorable.
Yes, that's honorable. Very honorable.
Very honorable.
What was it for?
It was for 30 Rock for playing Kim Jong Il and Kim Jong Un.
That's amazing.
I spent less time in the makeup chair for that role than I do just to be myself.
Yes.
Much less time. Significantly less.
Don't you kind of love that though?
So great.
I know. I did Handmaid's Tale and it was like, okay, you're done in 5 minutes.
It's so great.
I love the freedom of no hair and makeup.
It's so great.
Yeah, bring it. Bring it, bring it.
That's how guys get to do it.
I know. You know? All the time, every day.
Guys don't have to do anything.
I mean, I guess technically we don't have to do it either, but no, I've definitely subscribed to the patriarchal bullshit.
Well.
With my fake tan, fake lashes. Anyway.
It's not really for the patriarchal thing. It's for myself.
No, and it's okay too. By the way, there's an artistry to it. My kid, by the way, who's like super progressive, always reminds me that there's nothing wrong with it if it gives you pleasure.
Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So then, do you have your dress ready for the Emmys and everything?
I don't. So here's what's funny. I have to go to two Emmys because Bradley Whitford, I don't know if I mentioned that's my husband. He's been nominated for Handmaid's Tale on Sunday as guest star. So that's creative arts.
Yes.
Now, normally, if the guest star, I believe if the tradition's still the same, the guest star who wins on this Sunday presents the following Sunday. But because he has a new show on NBC called Perfect Harmony, him and Jimmy Smits, who also has a show on NBC, are presenting. So I know I'm going to the big one. For some reason, I'm in denial about the big one and I haven't figured out what I'm wearing. And someone's like, well, can't you just borrow? And I'm like, I feel like I'm like talking about like things that I never like speak of this extensively. But another horrible thing is if you're above a size 4,
right,
you can't take a sample size.
Yes.
So I'm too big for a sample size, which means that I have to go buy something and I refuse to spend like the amount of money that it costs to get a really great dress. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of hoping that the universe somehow is just going to miraculously show up with a dress. I do have Sundays. So for the creative arts, I'm wearing like a mid-calf length sheath off the shoulder lavender dress by Pamela Barish, who's a local wonderful designer in Santa Monica, and like pink pumps with flowers all over them. And I'm excited about that. I got that outfit set. I have no idea if anyone has... Well, this won't air in time, but if you have a dress, I don't have it. I don't know what I'm going to do. But
I remember Sharon Stone wore a Gap t-shirt
and a black
gorgeous
taffeta
skirt,
big skirt.
And it was
Wouldn't it be funny if I just decided to just copy that completely?
Yeah, I think it would be really good.
And I'll just tell everyone that Margaret Cho told me to do it.
Well, it was so revolutionary when she did that because it was kind of like, God, why don't you just be comfortable?
I know. And also,
was it Frances McDormand?
Yes.
Yes.
She wore a like denim jacket to the Tonys and a t-shirt. And maybe I'll just do that. I don't know.
Or I always like what Jill Soloway does. She'll do like a suit which is always a good option. A great look too.
Yeah, I agree.
Or a backwards suit like Celine Dion. Remember the backwards?
Yes. That was weird though. It was weird. Speaking of choking, I feel like I would feel that way all night.
Yeah, because like the back of
I don't want
jacket
falling back.
Is that coming up on your...
I was
thorax.
Also born with the umbilical cord around my neck, so I really don't I really don't like stuff around
my neck. Do you remember
that?
No,
but my mom thinks that's why I don't like things around my neck.
Oh.
Could be have nothing to do with it.
You mean like a choker? Or
like not even like a turtleneck or like when I get a job and they ask like, do you have a thing? I always say I can't wear anything that cuts off at my right here around where the Adam's apple would be if I was a man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I feel like I'm choking.
Yeah. Maybe it's a past life thing.
Yeah, it could be past life.
Maybe you were executed, you were hung or, in a past life.
Or my head was chopped off.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That could have been it. I don't know, like past life. God, I don't think I believe in it, but I kind of do because my father and I always argued and I asked a past life regression therapist about it. And she said, first of all, this is both of our first lives together since we had a big fight because we were soldiers in a war hundreds of years ago. And we haven't seen each other in several hundreds of years. And last time we saw each other, we were in a big fight.
Again, you're on opposite sides of the war.
Yes. And we were soldiers fighting. And we're still fighting. And then it's complicated by the fact that this is my first lifetime as a woman.
Oh, interesting.
Which actually makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always very surprised at the female things that happen. Like, I was always surprised when I got my period. Because it was always hit like I never got one before.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, oh, no.
Like, it felt like it was coming at the wrong person.
Yeah, I'm like, what is this?
A surprise every month.
Every time.
That's interesting.
And just womanly things always sort of vexed me.
Yeah, I've heard that. That was not my story, but I've heard that from some women that I know. And yeah. I find it fascinating. It's
might
like
be our first lifetime as
yeah, been. Maybe.
I don't know. But so then you're going to, well, you'll figure out what you I mean, you always have a good style.
Oh, thanks.
You always have a good style.
You know, I used to try to do like the whole stylist thing, which is actually lovely and you always look kind of amazing, but it's an enormous undertaking.
And it's a huge amount of money.
It is. And especially since I'm not going for anything that anyone's paying for my stuff. So it's all on me. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Plus, I realized also that like no one's really paying attention to what I'm wearing.
I'm wondering. I always like to see what you're
my
wearing.
My mom's wondering.
I want to see what you're wearing. I want to see what Jill's wearing. I always want to see what Gabby's wearing.
Yeah, Gabby.
She's great. Actually,
she has got a very natural style.
Mm-hmm.
And she never overworks anything and totally doesn't do hair and makeup. She puts on red lipstick and looks like a fucking goddess.
Yeah, that's all she needs.
Yeah, she's just one of those people.
Also, Natasha Lyonne has great style too. It's kind of effortless.
Oh my God.
It kind of comes out of the attitude or comes out of like just like the persona that's real and it's talent and it's also kind of a little bit of New York.
It's New York. I was thinking the same thing. Yeah. There's definitely like a cool New York kid vibe.
Yeah, those girls.
Yeah.
But you are a Chicago born lady.
That's right.
So when did you come here?
So I started to come a little bit when I was 38. I'm going to be 50. So pretty late. I left Chicago when I was 35 for New York. I was a voiceover. I was like a big voice of Hallmark and McDonald's.
Wow.
I had big accounts and I was making nice, very nice living. Mm-hmm. And I was getting to do theater at Steppenwolf and the Goodman. And so I really had no plans on leaving Chicago, but I had a boyfriend at the time who was going to teach at a college in the East Coast. And I had done a Rebecca Gilman play in New York. And the woman who was directing that play was like, I have a second bedroom and I'd be closer to the boyfriend. So really it was like a very kind of unplanned move to the East Coast. And Tracy Letts wrote a play there called Bug that took me to LA. And I didn't get into on camera. I mean, I was like a guest star on Law and Order or whatever, but I wasn't like a on camera actress until I was almost 40. Mm-hmm. I booked A Serious Man, which was this Coen Brothers movie. And it kind of like changed the whole trajectory of my life.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I was like being considered for, you know, TV shows, and I got to do Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I was on Louie, and I was Paul Reiser's wife, and like comedy stuff, you know, was coming out of that. And then I moved out here to do Paul Reiser's show. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately that show fell apart, as did my marriage. And I found myself living in LA and I wasn't really planning on it. And when I say moved out here, I meant like we put our stuff in storage in New York. We thought we'd go back in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, I live in LA.
Yeah.
And I was really scared because I didn't know much about this city. I didn't know how it worked. I felt kind of old to be starting here, to say the least, for a woman, quote unquote. Like, oh my God, I'm 40 and I'm moving to LA. And I basically parlayed my misery into 9 guest stars in a year.
Wow.
Yeah. I was basically like any time I did all those shows where like I either killed someone or someone died or my kid was in danger or I mean it was like I would go in and I auditioned for every single one of them and I would just, you couldn't, I couldn't not book it. It was like, I'd go in and just like either be angry on cue or cry on cue. And I was all just using what was going on, and it was great. And it allowed me to financially survive here.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, there was this weird little streaming show starting, and Jill Soloway grew up listening to my dad in Chicago. He was a disc jockey, big famous disc jockey in Chicago. And Jill had seen me on The Serious Man and on Curb and Louie. And so that's when everything kind of turned.
Mm-hmm.
Although there was a funny side story to that too, which was that I was never a writer, and I was working with Paul Giamatti on some movie in New York that no one saw, but he was such an amazing human being to meet. And my divorce was quite comical because my boyfriend and my kid did not get along.
Mm.
And my ex's girlfriend and my kid just fucking loved each other.
Wow.
And it was this really hysterically ripe situation that was making me completely nuts. And Paul was like, you need to write about this. You need to write about this. And I'm like, I don't write. And not that I would even dare to say that I do stand up. I don't, but I took a stand up class. I did a stand up.
Yeah.
And it was fun, but I could never do what you do. It takes like so much balls. I always equated it was like a weird high. It was like cocaine high. Like I didn't like the high.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, this is too edgy for me.
Right.
Like this isn't a yummy high.
Yeah,
I came off stage like feeling like overexposed.
Mm-hmm.
I could never repeat it.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes incredible courage and commitment. But anyway, it hit so well, this kind of divorcee, the situations that I was in, and that was videotaped. And I had gotten to work with Nicole Hollis Center on a movie called Enough Said. And just randomly, like a friend of mine was like, you should send that tape to Nicole Hollis Center and see if she'll do a TV show with you about it. It was like one of those like, yeah, and you know, like whatever, run for president. I mean, it was just ridiculous. But I did.
Yeah.
And she said yes. And we sold it to FX. It was called Angry MILF. And I sold it the same day that I booked Transparent.
Wow.
And it was actually, Nicole said, you're not going to be able to do both, because we'd actually sold it to FX as a sort of like Curb Bluey thing where I would be the female version. And this was before Pamela had made Better Things. And it was basically the same story, to be honest with you. It was a voiceover, single mom, blah, blah, blah. So it was interesting. But it was a day where, like, sort of post-divorce, post-trauma, me and the boyfriend had broken up. Like, everything that could go wrong went wrong.
Yeah.
And this one day, I felt like my entire life kind of changed. Yeah. Although the writing has never turned into anything. I'm still writing. I've sold one other thing, but nothing's actually come of any of that stuff yet. But it's been an interesting, it might come to something someday.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was more sort of that I could be creative and new experiences would take place and a new life could take place.
Yeah.
So it was a good day.
That's really good. And that's fantastic. It's really important to know that we're not sort of the stories that everybody thinks like about Hollywood, like that we can be successful and be in our 40s, 50s, 60s and beyond. And things can even start.
That's right.
Now.
Start. I mean, yeah, I never written anything in my life.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I was like, you know, so I always think like people just need to try different stuff. You don't know what you're capable of.
You don't. And that's really important to remember.
Yeah.
And it's like we always get told that we can't do things, but that's not true. You know, we can.
And that's why I'm always like super open about my age and everything, because I want people to know. I'm not into like, I'm not going to tell you. I fucking tell everybody, because I want people to know, like, I just got married again. Like, I found the love of my life. And I mean, like, this is all, everything can happen in a day.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
And until you're dead, anything can happen.
And that's the best thing about living. It's like we, you know, all things are open. All things are possible.
They really are.
Yeah.
You just got to keep going out there.
It's really cool.
Taking a swing.
I love it. And you know, one of the things that I loved about your character on Transparent is you got to have the best sex of all of the characters. Because everybody else kind of failed it, but you really got like,
she did.
Cornered the market on pleasure.
The Capri Sun in the car, season one.
Yeah.
True. I will tell you, as a cliche, you know, shooting that stuff is never as fun as it is.
No, it's always weird. It's super weird.
It's weird, yeah. You know. Although, I mean, Melora Hardin, and I think partially maybe because I'm sort of boringly straight in my own life, that those scenes were kind of fun and not as, mm-hmm. you know, it was a little more loose because mm-hmm. it wasn't sort of steeped in my own insecurities as a straight girl who was, you know, mistreated by her boyfriend in high school. It was mm-hmm. like an open zone.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a lot of good chemistry with Melora. And Jiz Lee, who came in, was also a sort of fun, safe
way
zone.
Way sexy, way fun.
Yeah, I don't know, it's just like, it's not to me like it's not like, I guess when I try to do straight sex on camera, mm-hmm. I feel like somehow I'm exposing my own self because mm-hmm. that's the kind of sex that I have, mm-hmm. but when it's out of something that I do, it's yeah. more like acting and it's less scary.
Yeah, it's
although
always...
being do you remember when I dommed her?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
that actually was not, I freaked out completely.
It's tough.
Yeah, I don't get that whole, like, I don't know. That was a weird, and even though when I saw the final cut, and it's, to me, it's super funny mm-hmm. in the final cut, mm-hmm. but the actual shooting of that and having to, like, say terrible things to somebody. Mm-hmm. And also, may have been too, because Sarah wasn't doing it in a safe situation. Mm-hmm. She was losing it a little bit. So right. that could have a really big part to play with why I found it so. And I also, when we were in the woods and I was getting flogged, and when they were in a wide, I didn't like that either. Like, I definitely don't. I like, so to say, like, oh, it's all so fine. I mean, it's none of that stuff is very, you're very vulnerable, is
right.
all I'll say. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it's really fun to watch, and it's really fun to,
yeah, and I
you
always
know,
enjoyed watching it. Like,
yeah.
And the edits were always so good, and I was always so happy with the result.
Yeah.
I really think that show knew how to edit those scenes, and I thought they were funny. Mm-hmm. Like the scene with the dildo with Melora, and, you know, then she gets a phone call. And I mean, they all, and being flogged in the woods was fun. Like, everything was funny when I saw the final cut.
Yeah. Yeah. And sexy and really, I mean, really important, I think, to just
yeah,
to show.
And the representation was important. I mean, the only thing that was hard was, like, there's a lot of projection that goes on. So if people are, like, drunk and I'm out somewhere, there's a lot of, like, projection that I'm Sarah,
yeah, of course.
And you're kind of like, you're wasted and you're practically assaulting me,
yeah,
because you think that I'm this kind of stoned character who's into threesomes that you watched last night, and mm-hmm. that's a character I'm
yeah.
playing.
Yeah,
and if that's what I want to do in my private life, that's my business too. Yeah. But there's this public consumption. I mean,
oh, yeah.
of these things where sometimes you feel like, but I also, in a more sane way, and to all of my queer friends and to people that I do know that are into those worlds, yeah. I was really happy to represent what
yeah.
I think is a part of the sexuality of our culture and mm-hmm. of women that is not really represented.
Yeah, because you made it very real.
Thanks.
You know, and that's what's really important. I think that's a really good test of, like, an actor to, like, really show that, like, pleasure and really show it in a very real way. You're not commenting on it. It's not a parody of it. It's, like, very true.
Thanks.
So that's good.
Well, I think Jim Frohna, who is our DP, has something to do with that too, because he's this really lovely, safe zone of a human being. And mm-hmm. I think normally on camera you might feel stepped out of it a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but because, well, also everyone I was with, like Alia Shawkat, Rob Hubel, like everyone that I was with through the years was incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. I just had the best people to
yeah.
do those scenes with.
Yeah.
The best.
The best.
The best.
Yeah.
So I had amazing people to play off of. And then I had this incredible DP who never felt like, you just never felt like you were actually on camera. It felt like the camera was with you in
mm-hmm.
some weird way.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a perfect case scenario to feel free.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure. I also love the scene with Jason where... And I've told him before,
forgot
like...
forgot about Jason.
I know him and... He and I did an animated thing together, so I was talking to him about that scene and about how, like, I could just smell his head.
Totally. Oh, my God. Yes. No, he's amazing.
He's amazing.
I can't believe I didn't. Yeah. My pot dealer.
Yeah.
Dr. Steve.
I love that.
Oh, I loved Dr. Steve.
I love Dr. Steve. And I love that kind of thing of, like, going and having sex with somebody that's just, like, kind of representative of this, like, world that
yes.
you're a little bit, like, not that into, but then you are into it. It's very funny.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Really hilarious.
Yeah, I love that storyline. There's a flashback, I think, to season two.
Yeah.
There's a finale number I won't give too much away, but there's little visits from all of our past.
Come see me do comedy.
Lovers.
I'll be.
I love it.
At
yeah,
the
I'm hoping people
Eagle
are pleased. It's a turn
in
from
Rochester,
what we've been doing,
the
but I think
Life
it's
comedy
an
club
appropriate
in San Antonio,
one, and I think it's a joyous
the Improv
one.
In Washington,
and if you're
D.C.,
open to like
Wise Guys at the Gateway in Salt Lake City,
I think it doesn't
and Club yeah. Regent Casino
well,
in
so
Winnipeg,
open.
And
I'm
the River
so open
Cree
to you.
Resort
I'm
Casino
so glad that you came
and
talked
to
me.
You can find all my dates and whatever
you need
to know at
MargaretCho.com. On the socials.
My biggest thing I do is Instagram. I don't tweet very often, although I am there, but it's just me, Amy Landecker, on Instagram. I'm like the old lady. I still haven't even figured out the stories yet.
Yeah, I know it's confusing, but it's
I'm there somewhere.
We're there somewhere.
Nice.
Thank you, Amy. Come see me do comedy. I'll be at the Lucky Eagle Casino in Rochester, the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club in San Antonio, the Improv in Washington, D.C., Wise Guys at the Gateway in Salt Lake City, and Club Regent Casino in Winnipeg, and the River Cree Resort and Casino in Enoch. But you can find all of my dates and whatever you need to know at MargaretCho.com. Something's happened to me. I think
I'm finally free, and I don't know. Never miss an episode of The Margaret Show. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. The Margaret Show is an Erio's production with editing by Kat Hong and original music by Garrison Starr.
Powered by ACAST.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.